This month's podcasts are sponsored by Aubergine Legal. Do you sometimes worry that your business isn't meeting all its legal compliance requirements and wonder if you're ticking all the legal boxes? Are you losing sleep worrying about a piece of legislation that you may or may not be complying with? Perhaps you need some help with your client contracts or your data protection compliance, or maybe you're worried that your website doesn't have the right documents or legal notices in the right place. Perhaps you have a brand that you want to protect with a trademark. How about if you could outsource it all and eliminate all of your worries? If so, then get in touch with Aubergine Legal, a friendly commercial legal consultancy offering practical and clear commercial legal advice without the overwhelming legal jargon, taking the worry away and helping you to protect your business and minimise your risks. Aubergine offers a free 30-minute consultation if you have any questions or want to find out if they can help, and you can access this link and book your free 30-minute call via the link in the show notes. Hi, welcome to this week's episode. So a few weeks ago, you might remember that I released an episode where I caught up with four of my earliest podcast guests. So these were guests who joined me when the podcast first started back in 2020, so 4 years ago now. We just celebrated the podcast's 4-year anniversary. In case you missed it, this was episode 206. So if you didn't listen, you can go back and find it. And I had some really great feedback on this episode. It went down so well, in fact, that I decided that I would reconnect with some guests from 2021 for you as well. I was really excited to speak with all of 8 of these guests. Yes, 8, so not 4 this time. I actually was able to find time to record with even more guests from 2021. It was great to speak to them, to find out what they're up to today, and importantly, whether their number one piece of advice for other product creators, which is the question I ask every single guest at the end of every single episode, has changed 3 years on. So the first guest we're catching up with today is Ruth Bussey from Ink and Scribbles. Ruth creates emotional intelligence workbooks, journals and printable resources for children. Ruth was our first guest who sold both physical and digital products. And I'm really excited for you to hear Ruth's updates and her number one piece of advice for you 3 years on. Hi, Ruth. Thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to get to catch up. So I would love to know, what has changed with your business since we last spoke back in 2021?
I would say that it's gone much more digital than it was in 2021. So in 2021, I did have digital items, but was more focused sort of on the physical books that I was creating. So I think obviously because of COVID and everything kind of being more difficult during that time, it kind of pushed me down that path. But what I also find for me and what I do and what I create and what knowledge I share, digital is a much easier and faster way to get that out to people. So I've got hundreds of items that are now available to people, which is much harder to sort of package up in a physical item. So digital has definitely gone more down that road. I've also done more training. So I have diversified into service offerings as well, and I think it's just changed with me as I've grown myself, my own personal development, and also my kids' needs, because they've obviously changed over the years, and they have so it's sort of, you know, the business started off with my daughter and her needs and her anxiety, and she's in a much more different place. She's a teenager now, so she's got different kind of issues, and we've come a long way for her, but I've also got my son now who obviously presents different challenges that he needs support with. So they've sort of guided the way that the business has kind of developed as well. So yeah, I'd say those three things are definitely the way that it's changed.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. And to be honest, I'm not surprised when you say that it's gone more digital. You were actually the first guest I had on who was selling a mix of digital and physical products. Yeah. And I remember we spoke in our first interview about sort of the logistics of getting them print and bound and sent out to people, which I guess maybe looking back, does that seem like hard work when you think how you're doing it?
I started off doing it myself, which was just really time consuming. It's just very limiting. So then, went off to find printers, and that was much quicker. But then I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so they come out, and then I'm looking through, and they're not all perfect. There's some of them got dents, or there's issues with my pages in the wrong place. All of those sorts of logistical things, which I just don't deal well with that on a personal sort of stress level. I just like it to be straightforward and easy. So so the digital, and I can just churn out loads. I've still got loads and loads of ideas of things to create for people. So a digital makes it much easier for me to put that out there.
And as you say, it also makes it so much easier for customers, because often if you're looking for a solution, you don't want to wait, 3, 4 days for it to come in the post. I know that's not a long time, but do you know what I mean? In the world where we live in now, people just want things quickly, and that's what's really nice. And it's more sustainable, of course, because you're not
Well,
having to print
there's all of
them.
that stuff as well. There's much less waste. People can print it, as many times as they want. Because some of the, well, a lot of the things I produce actually are very reusable. And obviously, when children have, an emotional challenge that they're going through, they don't, it's just not a one-off, is it? You need to keep going and going and going and teaching them the same lesson over and over, so it can be used over and over again. I don't find that the digital nature limits me at all. I think not everybody has printers, but it's really easy to get things printed anywhere. You can take it to the local library. People have obviously their work offices, or you can just get it, uploaded and printed and sent to you from an online printer as well. So I don't think that holds it back.
No, definitely not. And also, it means you can print out, what you want, because I think that's the other thing, isn't it? I sometimes get these downloads, and I only want to print one or two pages, if you see what I mean. Because some of it, you think, I could just read that on screen, but actually, this bit I need the printed version of. So I think that's really nice as well. And as you say, there's that flexibility around how many copies you need, and yeah, I think that's all really
Yeah, I think the world's
positive.
going that way.
Definitely. Oh, thank you for giving us the update. The second question I have for you, Ruth, is I would love to know, what is your number one piece of advice for other product creators?
Oh, do you know what? I just think it's just got to be perseverance. It just takes time. You've got to be prepared to take different pathways. You've set yourself out and you just think you're going to go down this one path, and then obviously obstacles appear, and you have to pivot and change, and also your ideas develop, and you start to, well, what I have found personally is that you start off with something and you think it's amazing, and then 6 months, a year down the line, you look at it again and you don't look at it quite the same way. You know that it could do with an update. You know it could do with a bit of a refresh. So I just think just perseverance. And I think when you persevere over a long period of time, like I've been going quite a few years now, you look back and the journey is just so obvious then, that you start off with all this sort of idea of what you want it to be, and then where you actually are now, and when you look back, is entirely different from where you thought you might be when you started out. Does that make sense?
It does. And as you say, I think that's actually really, really nice.
That
Definitely.
it's not all kind of just on a straight road, it's a, the path is winding.
And that you can see progress as well, because that's something that I'm realizing that as I'm doing sort of these interviews, that everyone I speak to, it's been a couple of years on and things have changed. And it's all for the whole, it's not always all positive. I know there's ups and downs, but you can definitely see like a journey, like you say. And I think that's sometimes really good just to reflect, because I think in our businesses, it can be really tempting to think, oh, I haven't made any progress, or I'm not, you can feel stuck sometimes. So I think it's really good to look back.
And it's really an up and down journey, having your own business and creating your own products, and there are days where you just think, oh, this isn't going anywhere. So when you look back at it over a longer period of time, you look back and you think, oh yeah, I've come a long way. There's a lot of changes that's been made. I'm not where I thought I would be, but actually, where I am right now is really good. So, yeah, pat on the
Oh, and that's a really
back.
nice positive note to end on. Thank you so much, Ruth.
No problem.
I really hope that you enjoyed hearing Ruth's update. Next up is Joe Short from TripClip. Joe is the creator of TripClip, which is a unique travel retail product. In our initial interview, Joe spoke about the process and challenges of designing, prototyping, and manufacturing a completely original product. And let's see what advice he has for you now, a few years on. So, hi, Joe. Thank you so much for speaking with me again.
No problem. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So
I would
love to know, so what's changed for you and TripClip since we last spoke?
So TripClip has had it's had its fair share of ups and its fair share of downs. It's been really interesting getting it to market, but I think products, now that I know what's involved, I think you can get a product to market pretty easily. If it's cheaper than maybe the market leader, you might have some chance. If it's as new as TripClip, the marketing that it would need behind it is just, it's a bottomless pit, you know. It would be just money nobody, especially getting it to market, the money's sewn up anyway. So, yeah, I'm back working full-time as a chef, and TripClip is kind of my, you know, full-time on my job, part-time on my fortune instead of the other way around. But it's been really interesting, to say the least. Anyone I meet just thinks the product's insane. I've got two or three other designs. So the TripClip, the Travel Pro, is quite complex to make and can be seen as quite expensive. But the other two models that I've invented should be around €18, and the other one's €9.99, but I have no money left to get them to get them to exist. So the only one that exists is the Travel Pro, and it's been a lot of juggling, a lot of thankfully I don't know any banks. It was all our own money. So I mean, I just couldn't imagine the stress of the strains of banks sending you these warning letters, and so I'm happy. We've almost a 2 year old. He's a lot of fun. He'll be two in June. So being back working is great for my head, because it's obviously my profession for 30 years. So I can do it with my eyes closed. And TripClip is just in the background for now.
Well, thank you so much for the update. And I have to say, I think I said before we started recording, I was really surprised by your update, because when we last spoke, obviously people weren't traveling and it was quite a difficult time. But a couple of years on, I genuinely thought everyone would have a TripClip, because they are, and I'm not just saying this, but you know, I have one. I think it's so useful. I have to say, so I was surprised. And do you have any thoughts on why it hasn't taken off? Do you think it's the marketing that would be needed to get it widely known? Because it is so unique, yeah, as you said, then that is really hard.
Like, the more I look at it, like, first to market usually is a graveyard for products. And then the big boys come in and see your idea and steal it. But maybe if I had a million sold, or, you know, if it was more well known, the big boys might come and try and, you know, buy my, the dream would be, license it off me or buy my patents, you know. But I mean, I'm not that comfortable on social media and things. If I was a bit younger and comfortable doing it, maybe if I did something every day for the last few years, like, the sales still exist. They're not strong enough for me not to do something else, because in the background you've got your trademarks and your patents at the moment, to update them and things. It's all money, you know. I had investors lined up and things, but you know, things just fall over. And some days I play around the golf and somebody wants to invest, and then the next day it's just all mad. I mean, a good influencer if they were big enough, I'd probably sell 100,000 units with one good influencer, but like, what they would cost me, I don't have, you know. They might cost me 100,000, but I might sell 100,000. That'd be a euro a unit, which is nothing, but you'd have to have the 100,000 up front, and then it's nothing's a guarantee, you know. Some people have said they've come onto my website and they're uncomfortable purchasing because it's so new. They were like, is it a scam? You know, I have Stripe payments, nothing to do with me. You know, when you buy something, you go off my website. Other people said it's a bit pricey, and what they do is they go straight onto Wish to look for the copycat for a fiver. So, like, you can't win.
No, it is really hard, and I'm sorry to hear it so hard.
Yeah, I mean, originally you set up Amazon for me. That's been an absolute nightmare. They deactivated my account because I didn't have a UK VAT registration number, which that's taken me 18 months to get, and I got it yesterday. They gave me my VAT number yesterday, but my Amazon listing still deactivated. So they are an absolute nightmare to deal with. Oh my God.
They are. Absolutely, yeah. That's kind of my life at the moment, Joe.
I may have had strong sales. Like, I'd really love to go the Amazon route and FBA and still work away as a chef. And the better it, you know, to just send in the product, let them take their cut, let them be maybe a fiver a unit for me, and sort of reduce what I do professionally and go at it more. So I think the reviews on Amazon would have been brilliant. But I'm, you know, I have it sussed now. I'm going to work on it in the background and just let it trickle away. So full time on my job and part time on my fortune for now.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for updating me. And the second thing I'd love to know is, based on all of your experience, because you have a lot, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators?
Yeah, it is 1 million times harder than you think it's going to be. You've no idea. You've no idea. Because you think you can focus solely on this, and like, so many things happen in families and around you that, you know, when you're 100% on something, so much so, you've no idea. You do a business plan, you think, yeah. You have this timeline and everything, and life happening around you is just, you know, hopefully it's all good, but when it is, you know, when it is bad, it's just nearly impossible to juggle everything. So your product or whatever may fail due to finances for one, but yeah, it's 1 million times harder than anybody is going to think that. If you think you're going to work for yourself and you're going to go off into the sunset in 18 months, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You won't sleep, you won't eat, and everything else goes on the back burner. So I just think it's, if I was doing it again, me being me, I would do it, but it's too much of a sacrifice. I would tell almost anybody to just, if you've good money and a good job, maybe look into it, but just don't leave something to do something. Definitely.
Thank you very much for that, Jay.
Not at all. Thank you so much for having me on again. It was great to see the little email for an update, and I love talking about it. I mean, I just it's still my passion. It's just a lot harder than we first thought. Even when we first met, I was like, yeah, Amazon, that's the way to go. 1,000 units a month, happy days.
You'll get that. I really hope you found Joe's update interesting. I next spoke with Vanessa Uffle, Made by Pure Hands. Vanessa is an aromatherapist who makes her own natural products. When we originally spoke, Vanessa shares how lockdown gave her the opportunity to really focus on her massage product range. So it's 3 years on, let's see what's changed. So hi, Vanessa, thank you for joining me again.
Thank you, it's lovely to be here.
So it's been a while since we last spoke. I think it's been coming up to 3 years, if I've got that right.
3 years.
And I would love to know, yeah, that's a really long time. And I would love to know, what has changed of your business since then? I'm sure a lot.
Yeah, well, basically, so since we spoke, we were talking a lot about my products. And I have launched three ranges. two sets of rollerballs, one called aromatherapy for to soothe, which is a set of four relaxing rollerballs. And then that was done in I think that was 2022. In 2023, I launched another set of rollerballs, and that collection was called Aromatherapy for Success. And that's quite nice for focus, for mental clarity, so those types of rollerballs. And then I launched an essential oil blend range for Christmas, and I'm just developing it now to take it into everyday use.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. And how are those ranges going?
Well, the first one I launched, because I think when I did my first interview with you, it was when I appeared on your podcast, I was talking about rollerballs and they were really popular. And so the idea that people can just buy them from my website or at an event I'm doing has been really, really, they've done really well, particularly Sweet Dreams. I think people are struggling with sleep. So that's been really the popular one from the soothing collection. And then from the success collection, Get Focused. So those are the two that are super popular. Also, I launched I did a collaboration with one of the rollerballs called Be Happy. It's a Be Happy gift set. So it comes with a crochet bee by another small business called Mockingbird Bakes. And it's a Be Happy rollerball. And it comes with a pack of seeds. So that was also really popular. And we like to bring that out for World Bee Day and things like that. So yeah, that's a really nice one as well.
That is really nice. And of course, I know Shannon because she was also a guest on this podcast.
Yes.
It's such a small world. Oh, so that's amazing. So other than your rollerballs, is there anything else that's going on at the moment?
Yes, so basically, I had been selling my rollerballs and all the new products on my website. So I actually opened up a website shop now. So you can, the bespoke products are still there, but you can also buy products just from the shop page. But I'm going to start doing my first sets of markets this year. And my first one's going to be in July, and that's going to be with the Solo Craft Fair. And we're going to be at the South Bank.
Oh, amazing. Oh, so anyone who's local to London or visiting over the summer can come and see you.
Yeah, so I'm really excited because it's my first market. Shannon has actually been helping me out, giving me lots of advice and how to set up. And the Solo Craft Fair have been amazing. So, yeah, so I'm really looking forward to actually showcasing all my products there.
That's really exciting. And I guess especially with your products being ones that are so, I'm trying to think of the right word for this, but obviously because they're scent based, it'd be really nice for people to be able to come along and actually smell the products and get a real sense for them. Because I think you've done amazingly well selling scented products online, because I think that must be one of the hardest things to sell on a website.
That is. And I think the way that I've got around it is I put tester sticks on my site, so you can order free tester sticks. You just pay for the postage. So there's any of the oils, rollerballs or oils you want to smell, I can then send out those samples to you. But yeah, it's a big challenge. I noticed that when I've done events, it's like in my clinic or things like that, people, when they smell the rollerballs, want to buy them more. So it is a bit harder to get to convey that on a website. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting out and meeting people.
And it's really exciting to hear about your testers though, because I don't know if you did that when we spoke before. So I think that's such a good idea.
I did them for the bespoke products because I started to get, I think because we were in lockdown, I started to get people who weren't local ordering bespoke products. So I was sending out tester sticks then, but now I now use them for the shop products as well. And so, yeah, there's a few other things as well. I now do a rest and restore kit as well, which comes with an eye pillow and some lavender products from a local lavender field. So there's lots more that I'm doing. And I'm, you know, it's so nice to bring aromatherapy to get it out there.
Well, that's amazing. And yeah, so much has gone on. But I guess, yeah, it has been a long time. But I always feel when I do these, it has been a long time, but it hasn't, if you see what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Time has gone very quickly.
So my second question for you, Vanessa, and I did ask you this first time round, but this isn't a test. You don't have to say the same thing, because obviously things have changed in the last few years, is what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators?
I think being part of a community. I mean, initially for me, it was getting a mentor, which I did get, and someone helped me develop my products. And I used somebody in the aromatherapy industry, an organization. So they helped me get my products out there. But I think in this current climate where things are, we are in a cost of living crisis as we record. Product business are struggling. I think the community is much needed because if you're out there by yourself, you may think that it's just your products or it's you're doing something wrong. So being part of a community is great. There are so many great product-based communities out there now. And I think, you know, being part of that really helps you deal with the stress and the anxiety that can happen when you are a product business.
Thank you so much. I think that's great advice because you're absolutely right. I think whoever you are and whatever your situation, it's just nice to know there's other people experiencing similar things. You just feel
absolutely
so much less alone.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa. So we're obviously going to link to your website in the show notes so people can come and see your new range of products as well as your bespoke ones. And hopefully you'll get some visitors from the podcast to your store in July as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Vicky. It's so nice talking to you again.
You too. Thank you. So after speaking with Vanessa, my next guest to catch up with is Nancy Powell from Herd Bags. Herd makes hard-working, reusable bags from plastic water bottles. Sustainability is really important to Nancy, and we spoke about that a lot during our first conversation. And I think you're going to be really interested to hear how that's fed into what she's doing now. So hi again, Nancy. Thank you so much for catching up with me.
My pleasure.
So I would love to know what has changed since we last spoke.
Oh, kind of everything and nothing, I suppose. Herd is moving forward. It's got good sales. It continues to do well, and wholesale particularly, I think in the last couple of years, with customers like Design Museum London and New York Museum of Modern Art, that's a really, really good niche that Herd's kind of dropped into. And those kind of wholesale customers are fantastic because it's sort of like a big order and it creates sort of a revenue stream that requires less labour than those sort of individual transactional customers. But so Herd continues, but everything else sort of around Herd has very much changed in the sense that I've gone back. I'm juggling it alongside a full-time job now, which is something that was different to when we last spoke. With my lots of things sort of drove that decision. My professional experience is corporate sustainability, and there's a lot of demand for that in the workplace. There was a moment when my husband's work was looking uncertain, so we decided, okay, I'll go back into formal workplace and maybe we'll hedge our bets. We've now ended up sort of with two full-time jobs and a business to run, but all good stuff. And I've gone back to working corporate sustainability, which also sort of has created another enormous workload, but also feeds and provides, I suppose, lots of the stimulation I have for thinking about my own business. I work for HP, who sell tech, and I suppose in they are obviously a much larger business than me, but they're still a retail business. And so there's lots of things that I suppose stimulate my thinking in terms of what I can take into my own business and the different things I can do. But also it does make me think more frequently, what does the future look like? You know, is Herd going to be something that I continue, evolve, wrap into something else? I don't know. And I'm really taking my time to make that decision.
Thank you so much for the update. I think your wholesale, you know, where your stock now is, by the way, so exciting.
Yes.
I just think how amazing. So congratulations on that.
And fantastic.
I think that your job as well comes as, well, I don't want to say no surprise, but I mean, when we spoke before, we spoke so much. I don't know if you remember our conversation, it was years ago now, but we spoke so much about sustainability, and it was clear just how important that is to you and is to Herd. So it's, you know, it seems like a very obvious sort of fit that you're doing that kind of work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's an area that every organisation is looking at in a lot more detail, not just for regulatory reasons, but for many others as well. And It's also, aside from the content, it's exciting being in work. It's sometimes exciting to go into an office, be in teams, meet people, and have that stimulus. And again, that's something that feeds everything else in your life, doesn't it? So yes, it's busy, very busy, but it's exciting.
Oh, absolutely. And I think as you say as well, like there's the one danger of working by yourself for yourself is you can become a bit of a silo. And I guess what's really good is that, as you say, you're going out meeting people and you learn and hear different things. And I
Yeah.
think that that must all just feed into everything you're doing.
It does. I think lots of people, lots of entrepreneurs I've met through Herd are very natural networkers, connectors, and can create a community of people around them. That is not a natural skill set that I have. And I think work almost gives me a sort of enforced network, gives me an enforced sort of need to communicate to kind of get out of myself a bit. I'm very happy in my own company. So it's, you know, I think different people, I think there's so many people I've met who would never go back to the formal workplace because they feel liberated in their own space. I feel very happy sort of straddling both worlds, and we'll see how long I can keep it going. But at the moment it feels like it's really working for me.
That's amazing. And I think, yeah, that's, you need to do what works for you, and what works for everyone is totally different. So
For sure.
that's amazing. And thank you for sharing your update. Now, before I let you go, Nancy, I would love to know, my second question for you is, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product businesses?
So this is a piece of advice that I was given very early on in my career, and it doesn't relate to product businesses, but it's something that I have reflected on a lot in running my product business, and that's make decisions. That successful people make decisions, and if they make bad decisions, they then make a different decision to take them out of that bad decision. But don't be a person who's afraid to make a decision, because if you're making decisions, you're moving forward. And I think that sense, particularly when you're driving your own business, that sense of momentum is what's required. You always need to feel like you're headed in a direction. And if it's the wrong direction, take a different decision, change direction. Change trajectory, but make decisions and don't be a fence sitter.
That's brilliant advice. Thank you so much, Nancy. I hope you found that as interesting as I did. So I have also caught up with Sylvina DeVita from My Paper Cut Forest, who I was really excited to finally meet in real life earlier this year and ask her in person if she'd like to come back onto the podcast. Sylvina handmakes original artworks, and when we first spoke, she was Etsy team captain for Brighton. Sylvina still sells on Etsy today, as you'll hear, but has some other very exciting updates too. So hi, Sylvina. Thank you so much for talking with me again.
Hi, Vicky, how are you? I'm really excited just to be here.
Oh, thank you. And it was really lovely to see you in person at Top Draw earlier this year. And yeah, really excited just to share what you've been up to in the last couple of years with everyone.
Yes, thank you so much for having me back. Very, I mean, great. I'm still happy just to still be in business, and it was so lovely to see you at Top Draw, and just see your familiar faces. So it was really nice.
Oh, thank you. So tell us all, what's changed since we last spoke, almost 3 years ago now?
Yes, we were just thinking that the last time we spoke was 2021, so lots changed in the past 3 years. After kind of false start in 2020 with my wholesale, I think we had a little chat that I started my wholesale on January 2020, and of course, you know, then the world absolutely changed. But thankfully, in 2021, to really pick up things. And now wholesale is a big, big part of my business. I was really, really lucky just to get a grant from the Department of International Trade last year to do my first international trade show in New York. So in February 2023, I went with my brand for the first time to New York, to New York Now, and it was fantastic. And this year in February, last month, I went again for second time. And it was phenomenal. So definitely the wholesale really grow into, now have an international market. And then that means now that I'm employing, two people who can work with me, and they're both mums. They are incredibly amazing. I wouldn't know what to do without them. So it's been a lot of changes since 2021. Very good.
That is a lot of change. And so the people who work for you now, what are they doing? Are they doing the making or other parts of your business?
So they work like part-time, because as well, they have their own business. And that's what I think I love, that they are business owners as well. So it kind of works in some symbiosis. You know, we both like help each other, you know, in the work. So they sometimes help me packing when we have massive orders, one of them as well helped me a little bit with the admin. But we're rolling these kind of branches that basically as well, we all have branch, so then I can help them with their business. So I feel like, you know, it's just not only they just come and do the job, but I really want them, you know, to succeed in their own businesses. And what I can bring is just experiences of being doing this for 12 years. And they kind of started maybe 2 years ago. So it worked really well.
That does work really well. That's really nice. And that also leads me on to the other thing I wanted to ask if you were still doing, because I think this ties in so nicely, is are you still the lead for Etsy in Brighton?
I stepped down in December after 5 years. That was, 5 years, long time, and it just needed change. And also my team, the leaders that they were just doing it with me as well, we were five of us. We all decided to step down as a team. So we give the opportunity to other team and other people just to lead. But also, you know, after 5 years, it feels that we as well needed just to take time for our own businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, me and the four leaders, our business were growing, and we just needed just to take time just to kind of maybe focus a little bit more, but absolutely still with the community, and really interested in the local businesses and what's happening. Recently I've been invited to Etsy HQ. I was I think last week or a week ago, so still involved in the Etsy as a market, and I'm really interested in how just to get the best for the platform for other sellers, as I think it's a great way for selling if you are a product business.
Absolutely. And I can see why, you know, after 5 years, why you would have felt the need to step down, because it must have been such a big time commitment for you.
Absolutely. And we were all like doing it pro bono. We were just doing it for free, like no one. And that's, we did it absolutely fine and with all our heart, but it gets to the time in some point after 5 years when, you know, with your families and the children and all the things with life, we felt that, okay, it's time just to, you know, as a unit all step down as well. So still running with lovely, lovely people, a lovely team is running it now, and still going and doing socials and events. It's just, yeah, we needed a little bit of a change.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for updating all of that. And so my second question for you, Silvina, is what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators?
Well, I have three. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
I just did three top advice, which I think is just really important. I'm going just to be concise. I think the number one will be know your numbers. If you have a business, you must be doing profit. And if you're not doing profit, it's a very expensive hobby. I say this to like all my friends who own small businesses, you know, like you need to know the cost of each product and how much you're doing in each sale. You know, it's very, very important to work your costs regularly. Maybe just check if there's other provider that can give you, I don't know, a better price on boxes, or go back to them. Hey, can you just do a price for me? I think it's very important, the communication of the cost, and is something that is, yes, really boring, but we have just to do as a small business just to keep, you know, the profit there, and particularly how things are going at the moment, I think, in the UK, you know, it's an important one. I think the second one is also how great in being a small business is how great that we can pivot, that we can change things. If something is not work, it's not working, like, I don't know, a product is not working, just dump it, you know, like you can just do that or rework it or see how, why it's not working. Just, we have so much possibility to change as a small business, I think, that, you know, because we can do that, you know, that there's an easiness just to the change. And I think the third one, which I think is the most important one, I will say, take dates with yourself. And I know this sounds quite weird, but I think book time off on the calendar to go to an exhibition, to go to a museum, to read a good book, or just to go for a walk with, you know, with an audiobook about business. I think it's very important for a creative mind to take time off, because as a creative brain, I think the most wonderful ideas come when you're doing something else, you know, like while you are doing the walk or doing a swimming or in the shower. So I think if it's imperative, if you're stuck in the business, to actually remove yourself and just say, well, I'm doing something else, and the problem will work out on itself. It always happens.
Well, thank you. I think, yeah, that was three pieces, but they were all amazing pieces of advice. So we will accept it. Thank you so much. And it was lovely to catch up with you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Vicky. Yeah, all the best.
So thank you to Sylvina for sharing that. At the end of 2021, I spoke with Janet Murray about creating and selling planners. Janet is one of the UK's leading content marketing experts and the creator of the Courageous Content Planner. When we first spoke, we talked about creating planners, of course, and Janet also shared some great content marketing advice for products businesses. Let's hear her advice for you today. So hi, Janet. Thank you for coming to speak with me again.
Thank you for having me.
So I would love to know, since we last spoke, which was almost 3 years ago now, what has changed? We're here before talking about your planner. And so what's changed since then?
Gosh, lots has changed. So still selling the planner. I'll talk more about that in a second. But I've changed the offer quite a lot. And one of the things that I was finding was that the price of the planner, well, there were a few things really, but because mine was a content and business planner, it's really important to me that if people invest in one of my products that, you know, it works for them and they get good results. And so something I always really struggled with was people would be like, oh, I bought your planner and, like, you know, I haven't got £1 million business. And of course, we all know that obviously investing in any resource for your business, you know, you got to do the work. And, So I've tried always to provide supporting resources, so social media post templates, different types of content templates, and training to ensure people actually don't just buy the thing and it sits on the desk and they actually do it. And, you know, I think I've got better and better, you know, at sort of providing better resources and things. But, you know, at the end of the day, you can take a horse to water and all that, but you can't make them drink. But it makes me feel better just to know that we've, you know, just tried. But one thing I was finding is when I was selling the planner only, I wanted to move away from that because like I say, just buying a business planner, if you don't actually use it, you don't implement any of the stuff, you don't think about the strategy, because for me, you know, content and is all about publishing the right content at the right time, not just publishing any old content. So I decided I had a stage, because I've been through different stages of it, where you could just buy the planner or you could buy supporting resources. And I decided this year to just sell the planner and the supporting resources, and to make the decision to sell less, but the price will be higher, which has actually gone well in terms of revenue. And part of the motivation behind that was to, in the nicest possible way, to discourage those kind of clients, because I think pricing sometimes, it's one of your tools in terms of you attracting the right customers for your product. And I was attracting people who are just like, oh, this is a pretty planner, and oh great, my business is, you know, and those people can often be the people that require the most customer service and the most, you know, they're asking questions and wondering why they don't get one-to-ones for their, you know, £37 plan or whatever. So from a revenue point of view, it's worked really well. You know, it's not, I've not seen a dip in revenue from the planner. And I've also, I feel like personally, although I'm not quite sure now, but I feel personally that I've come to the end of the road with that product, and I've thought about selling it, and I've actually sort of made inroads to kind of selling it, because although I think it's a great product and it's got great, it's been going for like 7-8 years, got big audience list and customer list and a lot of loyalty, there's a part of me that feels like I've taken it as far as I could do, and maybe somebody else could take it on the next stage. So I have considered selling it and making tentative moves towards that. At the moment, I'm still a little bit unsure, because for me, it's about, it needs to be the right person or the right business that sells it, and I haven't found that yet. And it's become, it's still a big part of my business. In a way, it's become a bigger part of my business because I've dropped, I had a lot of digital products that I used to sell alongside it. So yeah, is, I don't know if any of that's kind of helpful. There's a lot there.
No, it's really helpful. Thank you. That's a lot that's changed. And with all, you've taken all that into account, Janet, what would your advice for other people be?
I think when clients say to me about increasing sales of products, the one thing I always want to look at is how can we sell more in one go? And so rather than, like, so for example, there's a client I've worked with who's got a pet product, and I feel like they come back to me every year and ask the same things. And I'm like, yes, there are things that you can do to drive more traffic to your website or Amazon if you're selling on Amazon or whatever, but actually what might be a better way or a way to explore is to look at, well, how can I partner with brands where I might be able to sell more of them in one go, or how might I be able to bundle up products together? So for me, I'm always looking at what's going to be the less work or take the less time. So sometimes that might be about, you know, what can I do to bundle products together? Like with products, how can I get rid of things that are actually taking up a lot of time and energy but aren't my best sellers? It might be about streamlining. Like in my case, because it's a business resource, something that I've always done is tried to offer training to go alongside it and resources to help with implementation. So it's about providing more value, but basically what I'm getting to is how can you increase the revenue from each sale, and how can you do it in a way that doesn't involve you just keep selling to, you know, one after the other afterwards. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that does. I think it makes total sense, because presumably you've got these products, you need to be thinking about how to maximize what you have. So I see a lot of people doing bundling. That seems to be really popular lately. A lot of my clients are looking, okay, can I sell this with this, or this makes a nice add-on to that, because I think just increasing your average order value makes a lot of sense as well.
Something I've also done this year, which might be quite useful, is I hadn't done as much audience building as I normally would have done at this stage in the year, so I partnered with other sort of online coaches or consultants or whatever, and I paid them for me to deliver masterclasses, which you might think, oh, you're paying to get in front of, but they were exactly the right people for me, different industries, and it was cheaper than Facebook advertising, and you know, it's advantageous to them because they're getting, you know, a masterclass. It's all above board, because then, you know, I can make a pitch at the end, and I've actually, again, it's not just about that, in my case, that just one product that you've sold, but, you know, I've had a few much bigger clients that have come from that. That's been their sort of entry-level product. So I think it's also just about, it's about thinking about different ways that you can get in front of new audiences, and not just thinking, oh, Google ads or Facebook ads, but thinking about more creative ways, thinking about more cost-effective ways to get in front of more of the right kind of people for you.
That's so helpful. Thank you. I think you're right. I think that's a really good example of doing something quite different, because I haven't heard of anyone else paying to deliver content to other people's audiences before, because I think often people are looking to get paid to do that. That's the scenario I see. But I think knowing that they were the exact sort of right clients for you, that does make total sense. I guess it's also, there's something about just thinking differently.
Yeah, it's added, it's a list builder. So I've added like hundreds of new people to my email list, but also I made sales as well. And not just sales for the product, but also other sales that came off the back of it, because they're new potential customers. You know, it's like a great way of growing leads for obviously for a particular type of businesses.
Yeah, of course. And I guess knowing, so that it, and also I guess comes back to the basics of sort of knowing who your ideal client is to even identify, you know, where to find them, or, you know, whose audience they might already be in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for everything you shared, Janet.
No, it's a, I'm glad to be of help.
Thank you. And it's always nice to catch up. Some great advice, as always, from Janet. Next, I spoke with Carver Sayer from Snooze Shade about creating a unique product and selling it with huge success on Amazon. Snooze Shade is a best-selling range of baby sun and sleep shades. Carver was really candid in our first interview. She shared a lot with us, and I'm delighted to say that she was just as candid in this catch-up too. Carver has some great advice for you that I just can't wait for you to hear. So thank you for talking with me again, Carver.
Pleasure. Always nice to have a catch-up.
It is. It's been a long time. And I would love to know, in that I think we've worked out it's 3 years since you were last on the podcast. Love to know what has changed. What's new with you?
God, what isn't new with me, really? I think just generally, I mean, in some ways, everything is new. In some ways, nothing is new. I think that's the thing, especially when you're running a brand which is kind of doing the same thing, if you know what I mean. I suppose in terms of things that are new, I mean, I've just launched a new product, which is going down really well. What else? I mean, it's just every day is a new day and we do something different. I mean, that's part of the reason I love doing what I do, actually. It's just that, you know, I mean, sometimes it can be a real headache, if I'm honest. And like, you know, like even in the last 3 weeks, I've had about three things happen where I'm like, oh my God, you know, my patience is being tested. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, what's that thing? If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And I'm quite often going, I'm strong enough. Leave me alone. Sometimes you just want to sit on a beach with a cocktail and then, you know. But I think, if I'm honest, one of the things probably that I've learned more is, like, last year, for example, I did a lot of traveling with work. But actually, I lost what I didn't realize. I'd kind of lost sight of my numbers a little bit. And I didn't realize that some parts of the world weren't performing as well as they should be. And in fact, they were actually a negative rather than a positive. So like the last probably, I'd say 8 months have been spent really analyzing the numbers, really crunching. So actually, one thing that is new is I've actually got a budget, which I've never had before, because interestingly, when I used to work for other companies, I was an employee. You quite often had to have a budget, you know, but running my own business, I've always kind of just done it a bit more seat of my pants. And it's usually been, oh, well, I've got enough money coming in so I can do this and I can do that. And that's fine. But like I said, I've sort of lost track of the numbers, if I'm honest. And I feel a bit of a moron for doing that. I feel a bit of an idiot. But I think it happens to everyone. And, you know, you get so sort of sucked into that day to day kind of like stuff that you maybe lose that bigger picture overview. And I'm always the first person who will say that, you know, turnover is vanity and profit is sanity. And I think really what happened the last few years, I probably just didn't pay enough attention to the sanity numbers and was looking too much at the vanity numbers. And I think it's always a good wake up call for any business owner to actually maybe have a session like working those numbers hard. And usually when I find out something's wrong, it's usually because there's been some kind of mess up with my accounts in some way. And then that requires for me to go in and do some super sleuthing. And that's what I had to do back last year. And then once I started looking into the numbers, I was like, well, hang on a minute. That doesn't make sense. Or hang on a minute. That's not right. Or hang on a minute. And then when I then started, I was like, oh, my God. And I did literally have a moment last year, last July, where I was like thinking, do you know what? I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to stop the business. I'm going to go and get a job. But I am unemployable. So I think that would have been a bad idea. And then actually what I did instead is I honed in on the numbers and very much like started looking at things much more analytically. And I think that's really helped.
Well, thank you for being so honest about that. And I think you're right. It's so easy to take your eye off the ball, whether it's the numbers or something. It's really easy, especially when things are
something, isn't
it?
We're juggling so many balls. I'm surprised we don't lose more, frankly, that go flying over our shoulder and then we forget about them and forget to pick them up.
Yeah, and then we get to go round scrabbling around wondering where we left them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I knew there was a ball. It went over that wall somewhere.
Thank you. And also, I really liked what you said about how, like, nothing's changed, but lots has changed. Because I think you're right. I think with our businesses, yeah, it can definitely feel like that, that a lot has changed, but actually not much has. Yeah. So that was a really good way. I like the way you summed that up. My second question for you, Cara, and you've already given us some advice, so maybe see if you can think of something else. What would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators at the moment?
So one of the things that I hadn't been looking at was my product cost. And I think what happened was that I just kind of accepted when I was told that the price had gone up, I kind of accepted that, like, oh, well, it must have gone up. But then actually when I started analyzing, becoming more analytical. So what I did was I was at one point looking to find a new manufacturer because I was like, I can't sustain this level of cost because I'm not making enough money to run a business on. And that becomes quite a hard conversation to have, but it's an essential one. And I think that's one of the things I would say to people is, and I'm guilty of this for sure, is, you know, not that you're not running a business, but like you're not running a charity. You are running a business and you must treat it like a business. And actually, if it wasn't to operate on a profitable turnover basis where you're supporting yourself, then what the hell are you doing? You know, because, you know, you're not putting all that hard work in so that you don't get any benefit. You might as well go and get a job. So it was a really hard conversation to have. But what I also did is I became much more analytical about the products in terms of, I was like, well, actually, hang on a minute. This product uses exactly the same amount of fabric. It uses exactly the same amount of trim. This product uses the trim that that product uses. And I produce like 50,000 of that color. So, you know, why is that one more expensive than that one, for example? And we just needed to have a kind of a complete rejig. And then once we did that, the cost did come down. And I was able to carry on using the same manufacturer I've been using the whole time, which was great. Because, you know, I've got a long-term relationship, didn't want to have to leave if I didn't have to. But at the same time, I was literally, it was a bit like when I got divorced and I sort of stopped using distributors because I was like, I'm really sorry. I either carry on working with you and I make so little money that I can't live, or I shut the business down, in which case, either way, you're going to lose the business. So it's, you know, and I think sometimes you have to have these hard conversations. I don't like doing it because I always, and I like to feel, if I'm having those sorts of conversations, I have to almost feel like my back's up against a wall in order to do it because I don't like confrontation, if I'm really honest. I will do it, don't get me wrong, but you know, I don't like that idea of I'm a people pleaser, so I don't like upsetting people, which is ridiculous because I do as well. No, I think really keep a really close eye on, if you're a product creator, keep close eye on your product costs because also get your, whoever's manufacturing for you to justify those costs. Don't just accept them willy nilly, which is what I was doing. And actually make sure you've got a plan that is like, well, this product should cost this much, this should cost that. And then if any cost increases, or even sometimes it can also be, for example, you know, one of the reasons costs had crept up was because the dollar rate had gone all over the place. Well, the dollar rate's back down again now. So the price of the product should go back down. So it's little things like that where, you know, you need to just be aware of what's going around generally. And don't just sort of absorb all the costs that, you know, that you have, maybe.
That's such good advice. Thank you. Because as a fellow people pleaser, I know I find that hard as well. To actually question and say, why is that like that? Yeah. Why are you? Yeah, that can be really awkward, but I totally agree. It's so important because you need to have that sort of visibility and just know that this is why this is as it is. You don't have to accept it.
It doesn't matter if they turn around and say, because this particular item, that this particular ingredient component or whatever has got 20% more expensive in the last year. You're like, okay, fine. But then but you see, the thing was for me is that there wasn't a uniformity of increases. And so I wanted to know why they weren't uniform. And a lot of it was, I think it, if I'm really honest, it was probably because we'd never been that analytical in producing the product in the first place. No one had, like my manufacturer or me. So therefore, we both sat down together and worked out. We were like, oh, yeah, actually, that makes sense. And so we did work together And then it just all kind of came out, you know, came out in the wash, I suppose, to a certain extent.
I think that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Cara.
That's my pleasure.
And thank you so much for that, Cara. And finally, I caught up with Sasha Gupta from Cheeky Zebra. Sasha designs and sells fun and cheeky greeting cards for real life. I've been following Sasha online since we first spoke, and I can see just how much her product range has expanded in such a short time. When we first spoke, she'd just started out of wholesale, and it was great to hear where she is with both wholesaling and her product range another few years on. Hi, Sasha. It's so nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. I was just thinking that. It was lovely to see your face.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Well, I feel like I see you a lot all over Instagram, but we haven't spoken in a really long time.
Yeah, I thought that because when you messaged, I was like, yeah, we haven't actually spoken. But you know, when you follow someone, you do feel like you're kind of still in contact, don't you?
Definitely. But for everyone who sort of isn't as up to date on what you're doing as I am, I would love for you to share with us what has changed with your business since we last spoke. I feel like it's a lot, and I would love for you to update us all.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot too. I'm trying to remember when we last spoke. Do you know if I was just selling? I think I was just selling cards potentially.
You were. It was just cards. It was just cards then.
That feels crazy to me now. So now we do. So yeah, we've massively upped the product mix. So it's gone from, because obviously one of the problems that I was having with just cards is the average order value so low. So we now do cards, candles, mugs, notebooks, sweatshirts. And actually I can tell you because it's okay, I'm launching a stationery in a couple of weeks as well. So like, yeah, massively, if I just say it out loud, I'm a bit like, whoa. It has changed a lot. I think cards have gone from being, you know, our whole business to, I think now I looked at the product mix of the day and it's like 50%.
Wow.
Which is huge.
That is huge, and in a relatively short space of time as well, because we last spoke 3 years ago. And it was just cards. And 3 years isn't very long, Sasha. And in fact, it might have been 2.5, because I can't remember.
I feel like maybe it was like 2.5. Do you know what? I'm glad you've said that, because I'm always feeling as though like I'm not going fast enough and these changes aren't happening quick enough. So I actually appreciate you being like, no, that is quite a lot of new things to have in a relatively short space of time.
It is. And especially for all those new things to be like 50% of your sales as well. That's crazy, I think. Yeah. Crazy good, I mean.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. But it has been crazy. And it's been a bit of a, obviously, you have more product experience, but like, it is quite a steep learning curve where I found it to be. And I think I have a business mentor, and the biggest piece of feedback she gave me was that I need to put more effort into product. She was like, I think you rush it because you're so like trying to chase your tail with stuff. And ever since she kind of told me that, I've really spent time in like engineering product and making sure it works. And it's been, I actually think, like I heard someone else say that the more hours you spend on product development has a direct correlation in terms of your sales afterwards.
Yeah, I can see that would make sense.
So I've definitely been I definitely don't spend forever on it, but I've definitely been trying to give it more time.
Well, I think it's great. And I mean, you've just told us like all these products that you have. I have my mug, by the way, look.
Ah, that's one of my favourite things I ever did.
I had to show you that because it is literally right here. I've just had a cup of tea.
I love that you use it. That makes me so happy.
Oh, I love it. Honestly, it's such a happy mug. So yeah, so you have so many new products. And I think when we spoke last time as well, you had just started wholesale with your products and you had like quite big targets. How's that going, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh no, of course, always ask. So I worked with Therese, who's Small Business Collaborative. She helped me so much, and now I'd say we have like a good I'd say we have about 10 regular customers now, and they're ordering from us about every, say, 6 weeks to 2 months. And that's like huge, just because, you know, sometimes when your direct to consumer sales can be low because they're so dependent on social media, whatever else, it's just like feels a bit more confidence to just keep the lights on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's amazing because, yeah, when we spoke, I think you were just about to start working with Therese. It was so new. So that's amazing.
Yeah, she was so helpful because I was very like, oh, I don't know about all of this. And it turns out like, I wouldn't say it's like a massive, my priority now is more direct to consumer, but the fact that I've got those relationships and they take us through, it's so valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. It's just nice to know, isn't it? You've got those bigger orders to kind of So thank you so much for sharing. I can't, that is quite such a lot actually for that in such a short, relatively short space of time. So based on all that you've done in the last couple of years, I would love to know, and I know I asked you this before, but given that, you know, you've had so much growth in over the last few years, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators now?
Actually, it would be, it's focus basically. So someone said this to me, and it's like this analogy of, say you've got 5 coins a day. So say you wake up tired and only have like 5 coins of energy, and it's just like, be really intentional about where you spend them. So before I was like spreading myself quite thin. So now at the start of each week, I'm like, what are the 3 things that are actually going to push the business forward? And I'm not allowed to make them everyday things. So my everyday things would be like the content, the emails, you know, business as usual stuff. And then it's a case of being like, okay, if I only have, I didn't get much sleep last night, so if I've got 3 coins today, where do I want to spend them? And so being really intentional. And then it also makes me think, like, if you've only got 3 coins, Sasha, now you have no energy to worry about what's going to happen if it doesn't work. So it's almost just being a lot more direct with my focus of like, just keep plugging away at the things and don't even give yourself the time to worry if they don't work, because almost see it as, the more you get after it, the more you'll have an answer one way or the other. And then once you've got that answer, even if you don't know right now what you'll do if that doesn't work, by the time you get there, you will know.
That makes a lot of sense. I think it's just doing something, isn't it? Because actually we can waste a lot of those coins on thinking about doing something or deciding whether to do something.
Or like watching somebody else do really well and being like, I'm not going to do my thing. Also just being swayed by whatever somebody else is doing. And I definitely struggle with procrastination because of like just fear. So now I'm a bit like, no, you've got so much to get done and you've only got this much to use it for. It's like, the reframes just help me like not waste as much time procrastinating.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I also think it's really nice of you to be so honest about, you know, that you sometimes don't do things out of fear, because what we see of you online, you look like so confident and you're sort of moving ahead and doing all the things. So thank you for saying that, because I think, like you were saying about, sometimes you look at what other people are doing and you go, oh, I couldn't do that, or I couldn't be like them, I couldn't have that business, or I couldn't, you know what, we spend way too much time, or we can, comparing ourselves. So I think it's really nice when people just go, yeah, it's actually not that easy for me either, I just do it.
I appreciate you saying that, because I think when because I don't ever want anyone to follow me online and be like, oh, she can do it because she's just not scared, that's why it's okay for her, when in reality it's like, no, I am scared, but I just force myself to just keep going. And I think somebody else, the same woman, I think it's Chloe Slade, she always says this thing about your bounce back rate, and I've just been really working on that. And it's like how quickly you'll get over something. So like, for example, in a day I might suddenly see someone else doing way better than me and be like, I should give up tomorrow, I'm hardly making anything compared to them, whatever. And I'll have like these spiral of thoughts, and now I'm like, okay, how quickly can I get from feeling like that to just being like, okay, that's nice, now let's go carry on with work. So I've made that like an active thing I've started being, I found that quite helpful as well.
That's so helpful, thank you, because I hadn't actually, as silly as it says, I hadn't actually thought about actually being aware of that, because I think we all experience it. But I think actually being aware of, oh, I am feeling like this, and how quickly can I get over it, is actually really, that's another really good piece of advice.
I actually really, like now I'm like, oh, let's see if I can get over this quicker than earlier. Like it becomes this game and it forces you to like, I guess, bounce back quicker.
Oh, I like it. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of this. All you've shared and all your updates. I think we've got, as with like your update, we've got loads in a really short space of time. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. I really enjoyed it.
Right. And thank you to Sasha for talking to me. Well, that is the end of our catch-up episode, and I would love to know how you found it. Did you like hearing everyone's updates? Are there any other previous guests you're curious about? I am wondering if it's a bit too soon for a 2022 update, but let me know. You can contact me via the link in the show notes, and I am genuinely always really happy to hear from you, to hear your questions, to hear your feedback. So please don't be shy. Let me know what you thought about this episode, and let me know which episodes you would like to hear in future. And have a lovely rest of your day whenever you are listening to this, and I look forward to sharing another episode with you next week. If you've been inspired to start a podcast in 2024, I really recommend my podcast host, Captivate. Captivate were my top pick when I started podcasting 4 years ago because of how easy it was for a complete novice like me to get started. I've stuck with them for the last 4 years because Captivate is still really simple to use. They keep adding great new features like the ability to share ads like these, and they've just been really reliable. So when you're ready to start your own podcast, you can use the link in the show notes and get a free 7-day trial with Captivate.